Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Overnight America, yes, continues. It's 11:06, and I've got a couple of Halloween stories I want to do here. What's your scariest haunted house story, or do you like haunted houses? I'm not a fan of haunted houses. I remember going through one once when I was a kid, and, you know, I was scared. I know the rule is they can't touch you, so you can walk through it with confidence knowing you're not going to get killed, I guess, if you're lucky. But they give that impression, people jumping out and scaring you. I don't like it. My kid likes the idea of people jumping out and scaring him. Are you a haunted house type of guy? What do you like about it? Or gal? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, there's some pretty extreme haunted houses out there. And there's one that is in California. A couple of different sources reported on this. I didn't know if this was real. To me, it seemed like it was fake. But The Guardian and some other ones have reported on this, and there's a lot of pictures out there, so I don't think it's fake. I just think it's very misleading, maybe, some of these things. So here's what it's called, the world's scariest haunted house experience. You have to call ahead of time. You schedule an appointment, and I'm looking at some pictures of the things they do in there. Normally, you just walk through a building, and there's, you know, the robot twitches and laughs, and there's loud noises, and there's a little water or air that's puffed at you. You got people jumping out. You got real scary. It's dark. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're seeing. And then lights pop on, loud noises, whatever. Well, this is apparently what goes on at the world's scariest haunted house. It's called the McCamey Manor. It's in San Diego. Participants get their head shaved and they're sent away shaking after a range of special effects actors. Live animals such as tarantulas and rats are part of it too. They can also be masked and held underwater. Tarantula spiders walk over their faces. They'll tie you up as like a hostage scenario. I'm looking at this one. It looks like the dude's being waterboarded. There's footage inside this house of people screaming in distress. Apparently, the longest anyone that's lasted in this thing is 6 hours. There's a video of a dude in a cage where they keep dropping snakes on him. People are gagged and covered in fake blood. This one person's jammed inside of a dirty freezer. 6 hours. Yes, apparently, this is so popular. People want to do this experience to it all. It is so popular that apparently there's 24,000 people on the waiting list to try to get in and try this for themselves. Why would anyone put themselves through this? Sarah, a woman, was the one that held the record 6 hours in this thing back in 2014. Guests have to undergo a background health check because, you know, they don't want you dying in there. If there's a threat of you dying, why are you doing it? And also to make sure you don't have any serious medical conditions before taking part, you sign a waiver. I don't know how ironclad these waivers are. People say, oh, sign a waiver. You know, I go to a car wash that makes you sign a waiver that if you get killed inside the car wash, they're not held liable. Isn't that insane? A waiver for a car wash. I don't think any of that is legally enforceable. I'd love to talk to a lawyer about it, but I feel like you could still sue like crazy. If a loved one goes into a haunted house, even if they sign a waiver, but they do something that would kill them inside, I feel like you still sue them. That waiver's not holding on. The Survival Horror Boot Camp is what it's called. It's just pretty, pretty crazy. Oh, okay, so there's someone on the line. The screen doesn't show. Can you bring him up on the phone, or can I have to do it over here? We got a... Oh, Mike, are you there?
Yes.
How are you?
Fine. I heard you talk about these spook houses and stuff.
Yeah.
Me, personally, I don't like them. My wife thinks they're fun. But what I was going through anyway, when I was younger, we went through this walking spook house when I lost my job from JCPenney's. It was pretty scary, but there was a band. It was like a charity. But if I have to go through a spook house, the ones I don't mind is the riding spook houses, I think, are more fun. And it just hit my mind just recently. I didn't think about it when it was called in. There was one place they would actually pay you so much money you had to stay overnight.
Oh,
and
yeah.
To get this money.
Do those exist?
I don't
that'd
know.
Be interesting.
Ask back Eric to check it out, but I don't know how much they paid you. But I guess they scare you real good, but you get paid to stay. You got to stay there all night. That's probably pretty scary if you're going to offer you money.
Well, I would imagine that they would have a lot of fun with you. But that would be an interesting challenge. Do you like those ones you hop into the cart and they wheel you through like you would see at those amusement parks?
I like the ones, whatever you're on a track, you just go through it. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, they go through. Now, I've never been to Disney World, but they're supposed to have a pretty good one, what I understand.
This is a small world after all, something like that?
Whatever it is, I don't know, but I do enjoy the riding spook house. I guess I just enjoy the ride going through a track, just something to do, but not crazy about the spook thing. But it's kind of better than a walking spook houses to me.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike.
Bye.
All right, bye. All right, they want to sit down in it. Oh, that reminds me. Yeah, the sit-down. My parents actually took me to Disney when I was a kid, and I think we went through that. Like, you hop in, and it's like, it's a small world after all. Is that ride still there? It has to be. That was one of the staples there. My grandma had a little seashell magnet for her fridge, and when you pushed it, it would play that little tune. It would go, da, 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 da. I wonder if my parents still have that. Oh, I hope they do. I'm going to message them. I hope they didn't throw that away. Every time I went to my grandma's house, I'd push that button. Oh, that was awesome. Brings back memories, huh? Maybe, just maybe, next time you go trick-or-treating, there'll be a new flavor for you to enjoy from Skittles. Sounds terrible. I don't know why companies do this sort of thing. I guess some people like to eat disgusting things. So a new Skittle flavor coming out next month on Overnight America. We'll go through that. In Halloween, in trick-or-treating experiences, how old is too old to trick-or-treat? You know, actually, some cities have ordinances in place where it will, that you can get fined if you're over a certain age out there trick-or-treating. Is that crazy? This is Overnight America, KMOX.
KMOX, first and accurate. Depend on it.
I was close. You can still put it in if you want. How can we talk about Halloween without playing producer Ben's favorite song? I mean, it's impossible. There's a city, Chesapeake, latest to put on the books a ban for trick-or-treaters over the age of 12. So if you're 12 or older, well, I guess older than 12, so 13 or older, and you're out there trick-or-treating, and cops catch you can get fined $100 or face up to 6 months in prison. This can't be real. This is the stupidest thing. Number one, no one is forcing these people to give candy out at the house. When you're out there and you put candy out, it's essentially a beggar's situation. You don't have to give them candy, but you do. It's a transaction between the person and the beggar. If you want to drop candy in there, you can. You have no obligation to do it. If they're over the age of 13, that is still your option. Yeah, there it is, Ben. This is for producer Ben, in honor of him. You can't do anything Halloween-based without getting this song in there.
I was looking in the lab late.
How dumb is this? Seriously, the city is threatening to send trick-or-treaters to jail. Chesapeake. 314-436-7900 is the number. I want to talk some trick-or-treating with you. I got to be honest, I don't know if I've ever received a full-size candy bar when trick-or-treating. Does anyone here buy full-size, actual candy bars? Forget about the fun sizes, which are great. I love fun-size candy bars. But does anyone buy the full-sized? And how much money do you spend giving out candy in your neighborhood? I feel like you have to be in a really limited neighborhood where you know there's only going to be like 10 kids coming over for you to pay for the full-size candy bars. Producer Mike, you got to...
I just want to tell all the parents out there, it does pay off because they'll remember you. I will forever be grateful to the Russells my entire life. The Russells.
They always gave out full size?
The Russells. Yep.
What full size candy bar would you get?
They had variety.
You went to pick?
I was a Baby Ruth guy. Yep.
Snickers?
I was a Baby Ruth guy.
Milky Ways? Do they have them all? Like
they had them all, yeah.
Whoa. They Butterfingers?
Everything. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's impressive.
They also had a pig.
They had a pig.
They had a pig.
How much money do you think they would spend at Halloween?
I don't think it was that much. I think they knew roughly how many kids were in the neighborhood and that they were going to come first.
Uh-huh.
And so you knew if you lived in the neighborhood to get to the Russells, you know, in the first hour and a half.
So they
weren't there for the long haul.
So you rushed there. Did you ever find yourself tempted to run home, change outfits, and go back for the full-sized?
That's a good idea.
You didn't try to fraud the Russells for their generosity? You didn't try to pull a fast one on them?
I didn't want to put the next year at stake because, you know, if you make a mad 1 year, you might be ruining your chance at a full-size candy bar for years to come.
How old were you when you stopped trick-or-treating?
Probably sixth grade.
12-ish? No, that's sixth grade would be, let's see.
I was 11 because I started 11? A year
okay.
early.
I see. All right, interesting. It's producer Mike over there.
It might
who
have been
was
later, though.
Trying to play the game with the Russell family. Good for them. Good for the Russells. God bless them. I would like to talk to someone that gives out full-size candy bars. I think it's so rare. To me, I thought it was an urban legend. I didn't know that actually happened. When someone says, oh, yeah, we got a full-size candy bar, I thought they were pulling my leg. That doesn't happen. No one gives out full-size candy bars. Quit trying to pull a fast one on me. So the city of Chesapeake, the cops could have fine you $100 if you're out trick-or-treating, if you're over the age of 13. I don't even know how that's legal. It's what prevents you from asking someone for candy? Nothing. Nothing. In Chesapeake, trick-or-treating by any child after 8 p.m. is a misdemeanor. It's punishable up to 30 days in jail and $100 fines. The city's residents apparently familiar with the trick-or-treat restrictions. A spokesperson for the Department of Public Communications tells the New York Post, it's the exact same laws as last year. Exact same laws. Virginia, in Virginia and other areas, South Carolina and Canada have also put age limits on Halloween handouts. To me, that sounds like a violation. Oh, Brad Young. Great. I can ask him from a legal standpoint. Brad, how are you?
Hey, I'd like to give you some legal advice, Ryan, but your check bounced.
You know, everyone says it's a First Amendment violation if you tell a panhandler they can't ask for money. It seems like the same thing would apply for kids asking for candy at a house.
Well, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, it's crazy talk. At your house, do you give out candy?
We do. We also keep track every year, and typically we get about between 70 and 90 kids that come by every Halloween.
That's a lot. Now, you are a lawyer.
That's a lot.
Do you do the full-size candy bars?
Are you kidding me? No way. I'm not a plaintiff's attorney. You know, I'm not advertising. I'm not working with chiropractors. I can't afford that.
Yeah, the 70 to 90 all of a sudden doubles next year. They find out you got full-size candy bars. You'll just attract people to your house. You have any Halloween stories?
Well, I do. There was a guy on the next street over. I got three kids, and my youngest is now a sophomore in high school. But for my first two kids, I'd walk them through the neighborhood, and there was this guy who always gave out 50-cent pieces.
Hmm. That's cool. The Kennedy 50-cent pieces?
Yep, exactly. And so my wife and I had this debate for years about what was this guy, why was he giving it out? And my wife's theory was he was a banker, and he was trying to teach people the value of money. And then she switched to say, well, he's a dentist because he doesn't want to give out sugary candy. And I said, no, if he were a dentist, he would be giving out those rock-hard candy stuff that would pull the fillings from your teeth in order to increase his business, okay?
Uh-huh,
so we had this debate for years and years. So finally, my youngest daughter, was a couple years ago, she was trick-or-treating for the last time. I thought, this is my chance. So I asked the guy. I said, listen, I've been bringing kids here for 10 years. You've been giving this stuff out. What's the deal? I mean, I got to know, why do you give out these 50-cent pieces? Are you a banker? Are you a dentist? What's the deal? And he said, no. I just learned that if I give out 50-cent pieces, I spent less money every year than buying candy.
Really? He must have been buying the good stuff.
He said he'd buy these big bags of candy and it cost him a fortune, so he just decided to give out 50-cent pieces. And so then if they didn't give it all out, he could keep the money and he didn't have all this candy laying around that he didn't use.
He's being economically savvy there. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so that's... maybe, you know, if you switch to 50-cent pieces, it might actually be cheaper than candy.
You know, the dentist, you're right, they would give out those ones that get stuck. The Mary Janes would get stuck in your teeth. Those things were just glue for your mouth. I don't know why anyone enjoyed those, yeah.
Or gold for the dentist.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. 50-cent pieces. That's so cool. Kid doesn't know what to do with a 50-cent piece, but it's a good history lesson for them. They can learn about the currency, you know? All right, Brad.
Exactly.
Thanks for sharing that. Great story.
Hey, and I'm doing overtime tomorrow.
You are?
So I'll be in doing overtime tomorrow morning, 8:30 tonight.
Go ahead. You stand your ground on that. Show them who's boss, Brad. All right, we'll see you. Hey, thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Brad Young, friend of the show, doing overtime tomorrow morning in between Total Information AM and Charlie Brennan's program. Helen calling in from Hazelwood. Hey, Helen, what's going on?
Yes, our church donates money and candy towards Halloween night. And we have around 2,000 persons that come for trunk-or-treating.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
We also do popcorn, and it's a real organized. We have runners that bring candy, the people who are handing candy out. We have people that provide their trunks with full of candy as well. And we have persons that direct the traffic. We have a large parking lot area. It's at Overland Baptist Church at Woodson and Midland.
How many bags of candy do you go through?
Oh, my. Hundreds.
And
we've been going on doing this for 21 years, and the police even help with this, you know. The reason we started it was because a child had gotten hit by a car.
Aww.
Going trick-or-treating in our neighborhood. And anyway, the pastor found out the story behind this child being hit and visited the child in the hospital. Anyway, this has been, we've been doing this now for 21 years, and we always have around 2,000 persons that come of all ages.
Wow. That's got to be a ton of candy you give out. I love trunk or treats. We just went to one this past weekend over in St. Peter's.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. It was like 80 degrees out. And the kids are in these outfits, probably sweating. But there were a lot of different companies that came in and participated in it, and it was more of a way for them to get their name out there. Well, the kids loved it. They get the candy, and the adults could, you know, check out these different people.
We decorate our trunks, and people even dress in costumes that give out candy. It's just a whole lot of fun.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you decided to share that. Thanks, Helen.
You're welcome, and thank you for all you do, Ryan.
Oh, wonderful. Have a great night. You know, I used to do interviews when I was in Ohio with Tootsie Roll Industry. I can't remember her name, but she was I don't know if she was the daughter or she was the heir to the Tootsie Rolls. She had to have been like 90 years old and still running the company like 10 years ago. I don't know if she's still around or not. But the greatest thing ever would happen. You would interview them, and they would send you the candy samples it was the greatest thing ever. So this is what would end up happening. I'd do the interview, we'd have some fun with it, and then I would do like these little videos and stuff like here, like show me eating candy. Best deal in the world. Best deal in the world. And it was just fun to talk candy with the person that runs Tootsie Roll. One more call real quick. Ron, I don't believe this. You give out full-size candy bars?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, every year we just go to Sam's and get buy the multi-packs.
Yeah. How many bars do you have to buy?
They're not so bad. I think we usually get around 60 kids.
So you have a limited quantity because you're in the neighborhood where there's only 60. So how much money do you spend?
Man, I can't remember. It's only like 30, 40 bucks.
Oh, wow. The kids must love you.
Oh, yeah. What I do is I have them come up. You know, we usually sit out and we've got a projector, so we put a scary movie on the side of the house.
Uh-huh.
And then the kids come up and we say, hey, what do you have, a joke or a trick? And they do whatever they can joke or their trick. And then I said, okay, so I got a can of corn and a can of green beans. And I go, what do you guys want, corn or green beans? And I get some looks, man, I'll tell you. Then I'm like, some kids are like, oh, yeah, green beans or corn, you know, and other ones are like, huh? So then I'm like, "Or do you want a candy bar?" And they're like, "Candy bar, you know."
Yeah. So, do they bus in? Do you see like the minivans and the kids popping out in the neighborhood? Are you in one of those neighborhoods?
Yeah, a little bit. Not too much. No, it's
what scary movie? Like on the scale of Scooby-Doo to Saw, like what's the scary movie you show on the side of the house?
No, we don't do anything like super. Like we just do like the Haunted Mansion or stuff like that.
Oh, I see. Yeah, something that's like PG scary.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Some fun stuff so the kids don't freak out.
Yeah.
But then we get kids that stand there and want to camp out and watch the movie. And
eat their candy bar.
Yeah, we got to go, you know. And the kids are like, "I want to watch the movie." so some of the kids are catching on to the corn and green bean thing, so I think I'm going to do toothpaste or floss this year.
Oh, I love it. Brussels sprouts, yeah. Or floss. Oh, that is great.
That's a good choice there.
They always full-size candy bars. Good. I wish you were in my neighborhood.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, thanks, Ron. Good to hear from you.
Hey, no problem, Ryan. Thanks. Bye.
Wow, only 60 kids. Does pretty much everyone do that at the house? Do you have a little notepad that you keep on the side of the door and you keep a little track of how many kids come by? Pretty much everyone I know does something like that. At our house, we just put the bowl out, and it's the honor system because since we moved here last year, we go trick-or-treating with our kid. So we don't sit by the house the whole time. I like to participate in the trick-or-treating times are really early here. You always do it when it's almost like, you know, just starting to get dusk, you know, it's not too dark out at that point. But we put the bowl out, grab one piece, you're on the honor system type of deal. So we don't really keep track, but every time we came back, like last year, there's always a lot of candy left over. You just want to get rid of it at that point. But if we were to have full-size candy bars, you better believe we'd be robbed blind at our place. Yeah, we check our doorbell camera. We see who comes in and doesn't. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America, KMOX.
Overnight America and Ryan Recker continues on KMOX.
Does McDonald's still do the little plastic Halloween Happy Meals where you can take them out and use that for your trick-or-treating? It was like the little plastic tubs and you'd be able to go trick-or-treating with. It was so cool, like every October, you get a Happy Meal, and it would be like a little plastic Halloween thing, and then you would carry it out. It was for young kids. How much candy were you getting if that was too small? He must have been really cheating the system. He must live in a really populated area. These adults were just throwing candy at you to stay away from them. At that point, like, get this guy out of here. He's going to start singing the Monster Mash. There's a very interesting new flavor of Skittles that's coming out next year. It's called Rotten Zombies. I'm going to get to that in a moment. That sounds terrible to me. Jerome calling in. Hey, Jerome, what's going on?
What nut sneezes?
What nut sneezes? What's that?
Yeah. Tissue! Tissue!
I hope you've been sitting on that for about 6 hours waiting to call in tonight. That's a good one.
No, I just thought of that. I was eating some cashews.
Oh, okay. So, that's good. Not bad. That's a good dad joke. Are you a Halloween guy?
No, I wasn't when I was a kid. And then everybody ruined it by said it has satanic overtones. And, yeah, I just grew up and I realized and like I told you, I always like to eat the leftover candy. So I'd rather just eat the candy myself instead of give it to somebody I don't really like but once a year.
Oh, okay. So what happens when kids come around? You leave the light off and you hope they don't knock and try to get candy out of you?
They're wiser than to come around me. They know better.
They know better.
They're not welcomed. Persona non grata.
Yeah.
So I was telling young Michael, first off, in our neighborhood, we got so many pedophiles that they put a sheriff's department, or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. They put out a thing saying, go look at our pedophile list so you know where not to take your kid.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's really that bad?
Or something like that. I'll try to screenshot it and then send it to you to show exactly what it says.
Okay. I am surprised.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That is Jerome, I feel bad. That's like a... Man, why would you take your kids there? It's like you got to go to trunk or treats at that point. Forget about going to neighborhoods like that.
Well, I had a theory about trunk or treat that I shared with Michael that it's kind of a mixed message. We tell children to stay away from people with puppies and candy and bands. And then we have this whole, whole thing where, you know, you take a bunch of people to thing where they give you candy out of the back of their trunk.
Uh-huh.
They first should just give it to you out of the car door. That way it has a more or less chivalrous feeling to it.
Maybe, but I don't get that feeling. I mean, it's everything's on the up and up every time I every time that's happened. Like anytime I've gone somewhere, it's always just, you know, basically college kids or church people that are sitting in the back there.
Oh, they're the worst. I have my Ryan Recker poem for you if you're willing to hear it.
Yeah, I would like to hear it.
There once was a guy named Ryan who did a lot of right wing testifying. He came from Detroit and he preferred Domino's Noid over Little Caesar, which made him feel like quite a skeezer. He just liked the ears in red suit, which admittedly are rather charming and cute. But nonetheless, he overcame this obstacle and garnered success as the Overnight America host, where he felt he could do good the most. And also made a start in collecting fine art. And today he has plenty to say, and he is my friend, the end. Thank you and goodbye.
I had to wait for that last part. That's like the over and out. And that's all I know. It's wrapping up.
Very nice.
I thought you were going to throw in KMOX in there somewhere. It sounded like you're about to. Yeah,
I said Overnight America. I guess I could say KMOX, Overnight America.
No, it was great. I do like Domino's and Little Caesars, but there's no Little Caesars close to where I'm at, so I go to Domino's. It's closer right now. Oh. But they're both Michigan. Did you know that purposely? Did you know Domino's is a Michigan one too?
No, I did not. I knew they took the E out of their name a while back, but I didn't know that.
And then the Little Caesars, of course, is a Detroit thing, but they're all over, too. All right, Jerome, thanks for that. What a nice poem. We're going to have to pull that. I'll keep it on file. I have all of your poems on file. Now, you do need to do one for producer Mike as well. Have you done that? You haven't done one for, have you?
I have not done one for Mike yet. I was trying to figure out how to basically, I want a surprise, so I better not say it.
Yeah, don't. Don't do anything. We're going to save it for one night. That's really nice. All right, Jerome. Okay.
Would you get to see my Mike Anderson trick-or-treat outfit?
Wait, what?
The Mike Anderson trick-or-treat outfit. Oh, I drew him as a Red Wings player.
He saw it and he was disgusted. He was disgusted by it, but I loved it. I love it.
You guys are actually going to have real photos of Mike because I don't know what he looks like. So I just got to draw a fantasy picture of Mike every time.
You haven't looked any of us up online yet?
I know what you look like.
Okay.
And you've got glasses and a face.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Mike looks like.
That's a very good description. Hey, Jerome, good to hear from you. Thanks. Bye. Hey, I got glasses and a face. Did you hear that? Jerome, he knows, man. He's seen me before. That was pretty good. That was a nice little poem. You know, Skittles has a new flavor. You're not going to be able to buy these this year. But next year for Halloween, you can buy the zombie Skittles with flavors such as rotten zombies. So they have these little bags of Skittles, fun size, that you're supposed to hand out at Halloween. And it has, you know, all the regular flavors, the good ones. But they name them something different, like petrifying citrus punch, mummified melon, boogeyman blackberry, chilling black cherry, and red bloodberry. And then the one that they sneak in there is apparently supposed to be a gross flavor. So if you find it, they're hidden in there. So they're not easily identifiable. And you're eating the Skittles, and then they throw in the rotten zombie flavor in there. Occasionally you'll catch that. Why? There's these novelty type of foods that some people like. There's this Jelly Belly. They did the Bean Boozled, which they threw in a vomit-flavored jelly bean? It's gross, man. I know some people like the novelty of it all. I'm old-fashioned. The novelty to me is like getting one of those giant sugar rings. Remember the ring pops? That was novelty to me. When I was a kid, I wasn't one to go out of my way to find the gross things to eat. You know, there's even an ice cream by, it's Salt and Straws October ice cream flavor. Is called Dracula's Blood Pudding. They put pig blood in their ice cream. Pig blood. Apparently you're supposed to eat it pretty quick because it doesn't stay on the shelf that long. Pig blood. Some people say it's good. And then there's another one, Creepy Crawly Critters. Inside of this, they put actual insects, like, you know, people will eat chocolate covered crickets and stuff like that or whatever. No, both of them sound so gross. Like, here's the other one. So here's the ingredients on the Dracula one. Chocolate, milk, sugar, pig's blood combined together makes a creamy treat, they say. No, it's almost if someone makes it, it must be perfectly fine for you. I'm going to say no. I'm gonna take a pass on that one. Trying to eat some of these mysterious big chunks of, here's one, big chunks of crickets, chocolate-covered insects and ants and junk. No. Don't be handing that stuff out. We have a St. Ron who's out there handing out full-size candy bars. And then there's some people, here, I'm going to give you some rotting zombie Skittles. Enjoy, kids. People that you for sure write their address down. You remember where they're at. You'll remember. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Making America great since 1925. KMOX.
I'm going to do this story real quick because we got a couple minutes in. You know what I learned today? Did you know when, I don't even want to say his name, so over in Illinois, he drives over to Virginia while they're practicing for the congressional baseball game and goes to shoot some Republicans that are out practicing. He goes out there. I did not know this at the time, but Rand Paul dropped this earlier today. Did you know what he yelled when he was out there shooting? Some 200 rounds or something like that in 2017. You know what he yelled? This is for healthcare. Now, of course, five people were shot. Steve Scalise, by a miracle, survived. And he was out there, and he yelled, "This is for healthcare." Did you know that? When Rand Paul, I love Rand Paul. I think he's just awesome. I think he's super great. One of my favorite politicians. Trey Gowdy's still my favorite, and I'll miss him. Every day he's not serving. But what I look at people like Rand Paul, who is not afraid to call out nonsense where he sees it, and it's important that big key components in the Republican Party, like Lindsey Graham right now, is starting to act more like that, which is good. Feel the freedom to call out nonsense where it's seen. And Rand Paul was asking questions to Christopher Wray, the FBI director, and asking about surveillance of politicians. Just a couple of years ago, well, even early last year in 2017, there was some questions if the surveillance on the Trump Tower included then-candidate Donald Trump, and is it possible that the Obama administration's FBI at the time had phone calls, private phone calls of a then-candidate Donald Trump that they were wiretapping, perhaps, in this Trump Tower? And everyone was like, oh, all those crazy conspiracy theories from those crazy Republicans thinking that the Obama administration would use their power and listen to Donald Trump when there's no evidence of that. And then we started finding out these other little things. During the Mueller investigation, yeah, they started listening into conversations that included Trump Tower. Oh, there's no evidence that they recorded Donald Trump, but they were recording people surrounding Donald Trump. And in instances like this, they weren't just listening to one side of the conversation. We found that it's a very plausible that the FBI could have been listening and maybe still is recording conversations of Donald Trump when he's talking to people outside of the country. Rand Paul was asking FBI Director Chris Wray about this today, and that's a pretty dangerous thing. He calls him out. They didn't really want to give an answer one way or the other. But all of the evidence suggests that they are doing this. They're continuing to do this practice, and that could be a huge violation.
While the FBI, by and large, is full of good people, yourself included, you have had some bad apples. You had Peter Strzok and his girlfriend talking about trying to bring the president down. You've had people bringing their politics to work. The concern of us who want more control over what you do and how you look at data is that, as Madison said, men are not angels. That's why we have the Constitution. That's why we ask you to get a warrant. The information you've gathered in the foreign database is not constitutional in the sense that it's gathered with no bar. There is no warrant. There is no constitutional manner to that data. and yet you're going to then use it on domestic crime. That has been our complaint for years and years and years, that you should not be allowed to access that data without a warrant. Why? Because we don't want Peter Strzok and his girlfriend down there looking up Republican donors or conservative donors. We want there to be controls. And it's not to say that most people are bad apples. I think 99% of the people at the FBI are good people. But the 1% or 2% that become Peter Strzoks or Andy McCabe's or abuse their authority down there need to have the control of the Constitution.
You go.
That's why we continue to argue that these FISA databases, any of these foreign databases, that if you're going to look in them, if you have an FBI agent in Omaha and he's going to look, he or she's going to look at the database, into any of these databases, they should call a judge and get a warrant. That way we don't allow bias to enter into this. This has been, from the beginning of time, the protections we want, and I don't think it's being taken adequately.
Whoo! He's on fire! Yeah, Rand Paul. How many times have we found ways the government try to work around your protections? Oh, and then they justify it in a certain way. Do you feel comfortable that the FBI are able to hold on to these conversations with foreign entities? Now, it doesn't even matter. Like, let's say, oh, I hate Donald Trump, and of course, the only reason why we should give privacy when he talks to foreign leaders is because you're trying to hide something, or, you know, whatever. Okay, so let's broaden that even further. You as an individual, talk to someone outside of this country. Does the FBI have the right to record and store your conversation and then at any time in the future, dig it up and see if there's a crime you may have committed? As in, you know, you might have not necessarily admitted to something you thought was a crime, but you might have said something that they could use against you in the future. So you're thinking, okay, I don't call that often to foreign entities. So, you know, I don't have any friends in Canada. I don't got anyone overseas. That'll never concern me. Okay, let's expand it a little bit further. What about people in my industry? What about journalists? You want to talk about the, and again, I'm talking to the critics of President Trump right now that say there's no downside to saving and recording all of these things because no rogue person in the FBI would ever go and abuse their power with this. But what about a journalist that is talking to someone overseas? So if they make a phone call and they are trying to get a story or whatever it may be, and they make this phone call and the FBI picks up on it and they say, well, this is great. There's no protections against foreign entities, so we can record these phone calls. It doesn't have to be one-sided because, oops, you know, someone else, even though they're an American, we're just recording for the other side. Strictly, of course, we'll forget we heard anything from the other side or whatever it may be. So what about journalists that are actually trying to put honest news together? You know, during the Obama administration, they did this. They were wiretapping journalists. They got caught doing it, and people didn't think it was a big deal. Well, of course, Republicans did. They stood up, and they said, this is nonsense. This is crazy. You know, talk about the Associated Press calling and doing this sort of thing. Do you think the FBI has the authority to wiretap journalists and listen to their conversations? You think that's good, too? What about businessmen and women? What about you doing business with other countries? So let's say you have some other business with another person in somewhere else and you give them a call. Do you think the FBI has the rights to wiretap you and listen to you too if you're doing? What I'm saying is you may hate the president on this, but you should be extremely concerned that the FBI says they go through all the proper channels, but they store all of these things and they could bring them up at any given time. And you get a Peter Strzok in there that will abuse their powers inside the FBI. And they'll have this data in order to work on their own biases. It doesn't mean that it will never be used against you. It means it could be used against you. This is why you have to be really strong when it comes to your rights. You have to say, forget about volunteering my rights back into the government because they know what's best for me. You know that the government will use it to abuse it against you. Don't say, I'll raise my hands. I'll let the government do whatever they want because they know what's best for me. Don't you ever fall for that trap and give up your rights, ever. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.